Good morning. Welcome on National Bike to Work Day. I trust all of you followed that dictum and rode your bikes in this morning. Actually, I was going to. I had my bike ready and the tires were pumped up. And then this morning, well, actually, sometime around 3:30 this morning, I was awakened by the loudest thunder that I've heard in my time in San Diego. In fact, it was so loud, but it wasn't accompanied by a flash, at least not to the best of my knowledge. I actually thought maybe a building had been bombed. Shows you the times that we're living in, because it sounded more like a building collapsing than it did a peal of thunder. So now is my editorial aside there. I'm going to call this meeting to order. This is May 8th, 2015. The meeting is called to order at 9:05 a.m., and we have a quorum. So we're allowed to proceed. All right, some mandatory reading here. Members of the public who wish to address the Housing Commission must fill out a speaker request form. Speakers normally are limited to 3 minutes. Collective testimony by those who support or oppose an item shall be limited to no more than 15 minutes total per side. The public may ask for an item to be pulled from the consent agenda once we propose it. So we're going to waive the part about requesting that before the meeting starts. Comments on non-agenda items are heard at the beginning of each meeting. Please fill out a white-colored speaker request form before the meeting starts and hand it to the recording secretary, Angie, who is hiding over here in the corner. To speak on a matter listed on the agenda, please complete a speaker request form and submit it to Angie also before the item is called. If you wish to speak in opposition to the item, fill out a pink-colored form. If you wish to plan to speak in support, fill out a gold-colored form, something like this. Okay. On that note, we've done the mandatories here, and so all of a sudden I've forgotten my script. So it's time for commissioner comments. Commissioners, do you have anything that you wish to comment about? Other than it's a beautiful day, right? Okay. Report by the President and Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Gentry.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have a handful of brief announcements this morning. All good news. In front of, for the board members, in front of you have a packet of photographs that represent some very good accomplishments and some events that have occurred since the last board meeting. On April the 24th, Chairman of the Board Grambling and Commissioners Davis and Hubbard joined me to accept the Ruby Award for the Outstanding Government Agency of the Year from the San Diego Housing Federation. This was quite a nice award. It was actually presented to us by our Commissioner Tassin. Frank was actually a participant in this ceremony, so we had good representation there as well as a number of staff at that meeting. And the award is for a government agency that, quote, took unusual risk or initiative to support affordable housing and or community development initiatives in the past year. Specifically, it was for our Housing First San Diego program that we announced last November the 12th, our homelessness effort to try to create an additional supply of supportive housing for the older, for the homeless. And so I think this is a good honor for this board, and it also reflects the board's strategic policy of increasing our involvement with homeless activities in San Diego. Also on the same date, April the 24th, there was a topping off ceremony at the Alpha Square property, which is in East Village, San Diego. And Alpha Square is a property that will be providing permanent supportive housing for the homeless. It's 201 affordable apartments, and we are going to have at least 76 vouchers attached to that property. And this, too, reflects as an integral part of our Housing First San Diego program that we kicked off last year. We're working in partnership with the Alpha Project and with the Chelsea Development Firm. Topping off means that They finished the structural part of the building, and means it's about halfway done. And so the rest of the property will be completed by probably end of the summer. We'll have a dedication ceremony planned for then. On May the 1st, there was a grand opening of the Celadon Tower. And for the board, if you want to look to your right, is that gorgeous copper and slate-colored building right here. Completed at 9th and Broadway. And I'll point out that the Celadon is one of five new housing commission partnerships going on in downtown San Diego right now. Alpha Square, I mentioned a minute ago. San Diego Square, which you can see to your immediate right over here, which is undergoing a rehabilitation at present. Hotel Churchill, to the right of San Diego Square, which we closed the financing on about 2 weeks ago, and we will begin construction on this month. And the Atmosphere Project by Wakeland, which we also did a groundbreaking ceremony on last month, and will begin construction proper very soon. So as you can see, the Housing Commission is developing quite a campus just here around the administration building. And we're intimately involved in a lot of the redevelopment going on downtown. Another event that occurred on May the 1st is we completed the acquisition of the Village North Senior Gardens Apartments. This was approved by the board at the January meeting. This too is one of the five components that were in the Housing First San Diego initiative that we announced last November. Out of this property, which is 120 units for the elderly, which is adjacent to our existing Belden property in the near north side, will include 24 units or 20% as permanent supportive housing for homeless seniors. So this, too, reflects our growing involvement in homelessness activities. You might say a lighter note, but probably not such. You might take a look at the bottom right photograph. Those are our prospective new employees for about 10 to 20 years from now. We had to take our daughters and sons to work day here on April the 23rd. We were fortunate to have some 36 children whose parents work here who joined us for that day. It gives the children a chance to see the valuable work that their parents do in working from us. You can see working with us. And you can see some of the quotes there. It was a good day. Probably the favorite part of it was the pizza and the lemonade. It was for me. But, Mr. Chairman, that completes my report. We've had a good month. There are a lot of good things taking shape. And back to you, sir.
Okay. One of the things, I hate to critique you, but one of the things you failed to mention was the fact that at the Ruby Awards, a project that we are intimately involved with also received an award, but it was issued to Bridge, and that's talking about COM22, which is a development that's going to have its grand opening later on today down on Commercial. And it's mixed use in the sense that it has seniors, it has low and moderate income families on rentals, and the final phase of the development will also include a for sale condominium project as part of that overall development. So we're also proud of our partners for doing such great work, and we get a chance to ride on their coattails, so to speak. So it's nice. Okay, next I get to propose the consent agenda, and then if any of you want to contest that, you can raise your hand quickly and we'll have you fill out a form. But I'm proposing today that the following items be moved to consent. Item 100, 101, 102, and 103. Proposing that those become the consent agenda. Commissioner Hubbard has moved approval of the consent agenda. Commissioner Surdy has moved the second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye. And none of you ran up quickly, so your opportunity has passed. Okay, so moving to item 104, Mariners Cove lease extension.
Deborah?
Mr. Chair, I think with your permission, I'll give the report. Senior Vice President Debbie Ruane and I were honored to be involved in this transaction from the beginning. As the board knows, this matter has been heard at the Real Estate Committee and in closed session on one occasion. So you're somewhat familiar, I think, with what we're doing. Let me start by saying that we've negotiated with AIMCO, who is the principal of the lessee, and the negotiations were professional and cordial, and we're pleased to recommend to the commission the three actions that are referenced within the report. The first is to approve and authorize the president and chief executive officer to enter into an amended and restated lease on terms and conditions set forth in attachment one. Second is to authorize the president and CEO to take such actions as are necessary or convenient to implement those approvals. And the third is to allow for amendment of the 2015 and 2016 budgets. Just a little background, the project located at 4392 West Point Loma Boulevard is north of West Point Loma Boulevard and to the east of Nimitz Drive in the Point Loma area generally. It contains 500 units on approximately 30 acres. The land is owned by the Housing Authority of the City of San Diego. The Housing Commission is responsible under the terms of that lease that was executed in 1982 for the management of that project. The ground lease is to Lincoln Mariners Associates Limited, of which AIMCO is a principal. As part of this lease, when the lease was originally entered into, there was this ground there, and as part of the lease, Mariners, the lessee, was required to build the project, and they did it. Those of you that have seen it can attest that it's a beautiful project and well managed. The project was the subject of a half Section 8 agreement for the provision of, and there are project-based vouchers assigned to the project, 100 of those. So those 100. Those 100 units provide affordability to people at or below 80% of area median income. The 200 of the units are moderate income units, which are affordable at or below 120%, and the balance are market rate units. Currently, the commission has paid 6% of gross revenues, which this year would be $551,000. In 2010, AIMCO approached the commission in an effort to discuss the actual purchase of the land. The commission and AIMCO entered into negotiations concerning that, and ultimately that transaction to purchase was not successful. However, in 2014, AIMCO again contacted the commission, and this time to talk about an extension of the lease. And under Debbie's leadership, we entered into substantial negotiations. And what we have here today, we believe, is a win-win situation for both the commission and the lessee. The current lease would have expired in 2037, which is only 22 years. Again, what we're proposing to do in the way of amendments to that lease are referenced in attachment one to the board report, which in detail goes through the changes. This has been signed by Lincoln Mariners Associates and by the commission. The approval of this to go forward is subject to the approval of the CEO, which we've already obtained, the approval of this board, and then also the approval of the Housing Authority of the City of San Diego. Any lease in excess of 5 years under the provisions of San Diego Municipal Code Section 980301 require the Housing Authority's approval. So this matter is tentatively scheduled for a date early in June for hearing before the Housing Authority. And again, let me just say that we're very pleased with the recommendation that we're making here today, and we're going to urge you to approve it. I want to go through, if I could, just the highlights of the changes. And by the way, just for the record, this hearing that we're having today will satisfy the requirements of Health and Safety Code Section 343.12.3, which require that if a housing authority or agency enter into a lease or amend it, that you have a public hearing concerning that matter. So this matter has been noticed. It will again have a hearing at the housing authority. So for the record, we are complying with Health and Safety Code Section 343.12.3 by this hearing. A summary of the terms are as follows. The term of the lease will be extended 55 years, to a term of 55 years, which will terminate in 2070, if this is approved. In addition, there will be one 20-year option. Under the terms of the transaction, there will be a reappraisal of the land in 2040, which is about the midpoint of the new term. And rents will be adjusted at the commission's option. The reappraisal will not occur unless the commission opts for the reappraisal. If we opt to have it reappraised at that time, the rents will be adjusted based upon that appraisal. And I know you've looked at the term sheet, there are detailed provisions as to how the reappraisal will occur. In addition, at the end of the lease in 2070, if the option is exercised, there will be another reappraisal at that time, at which time the rents will be adjusted again to market based upon that reappraisal. In the event that reappraisal does not justify an increase in the rent will be no less than the rent that was existing in the prior year. I might say every year after, I'll get to that in a minute. Within 5 years of the execution of this lease, the lessee will be investing $25 million into the project for project upgrades. They will make a proposal to the commission as to what type of adjustments or improvements they'd like to make, and subject to our reasonable approval. The ground rent under the terms of this amendment will go from $551,000 this year up to $1.239 million in the year 2021. That will become the new base rent, and from each year during the term of the lease, the rent will be adjusted upward in accordance with the cost of living increase, but capped at 3%. And with no ability to decrease it. So it's an up, but limited to 3% cap. The affordability will be preserved for this project. You'll continue to have 100 units at 80% of AMI, funded basically with the project-based vouchers, 200 units at 120% and 200 units at market rate. The value of the net value of the land was determined by Kaiser Marston, who did substantial work with us in coming to an analysis done basically on the amount of income that would normally be generated from a leasehold as compared to a comparable sale study, which would not be particularly appropriate here. This deal is contingent upon the HAP agreement being renewed and extended. AIMCO has repeatedly renewed that. They're in the process of doing that again. And so when this takes place, which we hope will be July 1 of this year, that HAP extension will be in place. The leasehold under the terms of the deal may be encumbered, but not the fee interest. But the encumbrance of the property would be subject to the reasonable approval of the Housing Commission as in accordance with commercially prudent guidelines. Any sale or transfer or assignment of the property is also subject to the approval of the Housing Commission and its reasonable approval. The deal contains the ability of the lessee to transfer the property to a tax credit investor, and again, subject to reasonable approval of the commission. And the commission's agreed to cooperate with that tax credit investor without committing any funds whatsoever, but in a non-monetary way to cooperate if the tax credit investor is approved. And the last part of the deal is that if approved, an amended and restated lease will be drafted by our office, which will be subject to the approval of the lessee, both in our reasonable discretion. I might say that Patty Schwader is here from AIMCO as a representative of the lessee, and I think she's put in a speaker slip to potentially answer questions if there are any. Again, we, on behalf of the Housing Commission, we recommend the approval of this action. We think it's in the best interest of the Housing Commission and the lessee and the tenants of the project. So with that, that concludes the staff report, and we're obviously here to answer any questions.
Okay. Patty, did you want to step forward? If we do have any questions, we can ask them after you make an initial comment if you have one.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I'm here just to say thank you. We have worked really long and hard and can't thank Mr. Christensen, Mr. Gentry, and Ms. Ruane for all the work they have done on this. We echo Mr. Christensen's comments. This is really a win for the city and a win for us as well. It really removes the uncertainty of the ground lease, and its more modern provisions will allow us to invest in the property, which, again, is going to be great for everyone, and especially the residents of Mariner's Cove. So with that, I thank you, and I'm here to answer any questions you may have.
Well, I'm going to presume that we are going to hear from you fairly soon in the future regarding a request for encumbering the leasehold, because I'm assuming that you're not going to just take $25 million out of cash flow to make the upgrades and improvements that Mr. Christensen commented on.
That's a pretty good assumption.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Do you have a time frame for that?
We do not, but as the new agreement says, we would like to do this within the next 5 years. It would probably be sooner rather than later, because there are some capital needs that we would love to get going on pretty quickly.
Comment? I'll comment once again. Getting on my bicycle from time to time, I do ride by that property, and it's always been a very attractive property in my estimation. So, Mr. Gentry?
Thanks very much.
Just a couple of comments, Mr. Chairman. AIMCO is a well-established, long-time national company, most reputable. They do wonderful work. I've had experience with them in my previous lifetimes before coming here. So this is a good partner for us, and I think that this represents also a good investment in the future in this property to keep it affordable for the city for a long time into the future. I'd also like to thank Ms. Ruane and her staff did their usual diligent work in making sure that the interests of the city are taken care of, and that this truly is a win-win for everybody concerned, and I think it is.
Commissioners, any of you have any questions or comments? Okay, Commissioner Moraga has moved approval of the recommendations as submitted by staff. Is there a second? Commissioner Surdy has seconded that motion. Any other discussion? Seeing no indication of such, I'll call the question. All in favor of approval of the recommendations of staff in this motion, indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion is carried unanimously. Thank you, all of you. I know the work that has gone into that. So. I was so anxious to get into the meat and potatoes of the meeting, I forgot another routine item, and that is we haven't moved approval of the minutes of the April 10th, 2015 meeting. So I assume all of you have had an opportunity to read them. Is there a motion? Commissioner Surdy has moved approval of the minutes for the April meeting. Is there second? Commissioner Hubbard has seconded. I feel like an auctioneer. I'm moving back. Okay. Any discussion? Seeing no indication of such, I'll call the question. All in favor of approving the minutes of April 10th, 2015, indicate by saying aye. Opposed? The minutes are approved. Next, we'll call for item 105, which is a workshop and discussion. Now, before you get started with this, I want to reiterate, this is a pet project, okay? And so whatever we hear today is obviously going to be an improvement over the last time, which was pretty good. But I want you to know that you don't get to rest on your laurels, because the next time we hear from you, I want it to be incrementally better. Okay.
We could do that for you today. We'll be highlighting the new services that we've created downstairs at the Achievement Academy. And at the conclusion of our presentation, we'll give you a little snippet of what our future plans are. So we're happy to be presenting today. Good morning, Chairman Gramling, Commissioners, Mr. Gentry, and Council. I'm Azucena Valladolid, Vice President of the Rental Assistance Division. With me today is Stephanie Murphy, Director of the Workforce and Economic Development Department, who oversees the San Diego Housing Commission Achievement Academy. We have an informational presentation to share with you today about the continued success and new programs at the SDHC Achievement Academy. We place a great deal of emphasis on staying current with employment trends and establishing new innovative partnerships and services to increase the opportunities for placing participants with employment. I'm extremely proud of the accomplishments Stephanie and her team have achieved at the SDHC Achievement Academy, and today she'll be sharing some of those accomplishments with you. These accomplishments include impacting the lives of formerly homeless San Diegans and helping them begin to rebuild their lives, as you will see in this video profile of one of our SDHC Achievement Academy participants.
Getting back to stability, coming from homelessness as a veteran, it's like waking up out of a deep sleep, a tunnel, spiraling upward this time instead of downward. I'm maintenance. It's a special program that they have me under. It's sort of like maintenance training, and they're trying to adapt me to this new procedure that they have for homeless veterans. My supervisor has me at a minimum of 7 different properties that I go around to provide maintenance and cleaning and housekeeping. The Housing Commission actually reached out and helped me and provided me shelter and now employment. Now I'm back on the road to what every American wants to do, save, provide for their family, their grandkids. And I'm very thankful, sir. Very thankful for that. I was accepted into the Achievement Academy pretty soon, as soon as I picked up my housing voucher from the Veterans Administration. My case manager, his benefit is knowing people like myself are moving up the ladder. He's definitely part of the component that helped me get to this level. I provided information about the background, my background, my education, the things that I've done in the past. And they took that information and they categorized it and saw potential, and that potential is the position that I'm in right now. The classroom situation, it was certain procedures like how to do a resume, how to advance yourself, how to create your brand. What are you about? What can you offer your employer that's different from the other? That class is the most beneficial, I think, that I actually opened the door for me. There's not enough words to categorize the power that you guys have provided me just by helping. So I am very thankful for the House Commission and all their employees, and I hope I don't fail you in any way.
I want to thank our award-winning communications team for producing this video. The SDHC Achievement Academy is a 9,600-square-foot state-of-the-art learning and resource center with a computer lab. We provide services at no cost to our Housing Choice Voucher Section 8 rental assistance participants and public housing residents. The 3 core areas of services that we provide are in employment placement and career improvement, personal financial literacy and coaching, access to income supports. The Achievement Academy opened on October 4th of 2010 and is located on the first floor of the San Diego Housing Commission building.
When we originally opened the San Diego Housing Commission Achievement Academy, our services were based on an asset development platform. In 2013, we changed the direction of the Achievement Academy and implemented a program designed around work readiness services in preparation for our Path to Success, a Moving to Work initiative. On July 1st, 2013, we implemented Path to Success, a San Diego Housing Commission Moving to Work program. Path to Success modified the method used to determine the monthly rent payment amounts for Housing Choice Vouchers Section 8 participants and public housing residents. Path to Success also set minimum rents for families identified as able to work, which we refer to as work-able. With the implementation of Path to Success, we identified the need to revamp the SDHE Achievement Academy's programs to enhance the opportunities we provide for Housing Choice Voucher and public housing participants to become more financially self-reliant. This is achieved primarily through the employment-related services at the SDHC Achievement Academy. The SDHC Achievement Academy is a resource center for work readiness services and to help participants increase their earned income. Since July 1st of 2013, the SDHC Achievement Academy has placed 300 individuals in jobs. There are currently close to 6,800 participants or families on the Path to Success program, of which approximately 2,200 are paying minimum rents. Our phase two of Path to Success will go into effect on July 1st of this year, which will increase the minimum rents for approximately 300 workable families. I will now turn it over to Stephanie to tell you about the new SDHC Achievement Academy programs that have been created to assist these families.
Thank you. Good morning. This is a list of the services that we provide over at the Achievement Academy. We focus on work readiness workshops. We have access to on-site and off-site job skills training, and we just recently created an industry-specific training program, and I'm going to go more in-depth on the training program that we've created. We have financial education and counseling services, our family self-sufficiency program, access to government benefits such as CalFresh and child care. We have weekly employer recruitments where people can be hired on the spot and be able to find work right away. We have computer training where we have basic and intermediate computer training programs, and they also have access to our computer lab downstairs. We have soft skills program and then our microenterprise that helps individuals start their own business. So who receives our services? This is a list of the participants that have used our services between March 2014 and March 2015. We've had 1,100 individuals come down to the Achievement Academy. Out of those individuals, 667 have enrolled into the program, and we've placed 247 into employment. The demographics, we have 54% are between 35 and 54 years old. We're predominantly female with 73% and 24% male. We are changing that number a little bit, and I'll talk a little bit more about the services we're providing to males. And we have the education level, 41% have some type of college or trade school background, 28 have a high school diploma, and 22 lack a high school diploma or GED, making it even more difficult to find employment. And 49% are below the federal poverty line. I want to spotlight the great workforce readiness specialists that we have downstairs that are providing the services to the participants that come in. Our workforce readiness specialists are pretty much case managers, and we have six of them. Their average caseload is 111 individuals that they're helping serve, and each one of them have a specialty that they're responsible for. And I wanted to go through the specialties to help you understand a little bit more about what we're doing. Internal communication is one specialty, and he works really closely with the housing assistants on the third floor that are providing services to the individuals that call and need assistance with their housing. And the third floor has now referred 1,053 internal referrals down to the Achievement Academy, resulting in 358 individuals scheduling an orientation. And that's a huge difference from what we had the year prior. So we're really excited about the internal communication and how that's helped out. Just recently, I hired an individual that is a licensed mental health worker, and I'm really excited to start a new mental health focused program, and they'll be able to look at barriers to employment regarding mental health and be able to create some programming around that. And she's going to start in a couple weeks. We have internal training programs, and that's workshops and industry specific training that they develop on site. We have someone that handles all of the employer services and recruitments and job fair creation. We also have external training providers that come in and provide services, International Rescue Committee, and also our microenterprise, and someone oversees and handles all of that. And then lastly, we have our financial literacy program and financial counseling, and she also creates workshops for financial literacy. All of my workforce readiness specialists have monthly goals that they're responsible for, and they're tracked, and we try to make sure that they adhere to the goals and exceed them every single month. We have two on-site training providers. Manpower provides job development services, and Landeros & Associate, they provide our microenterprise and financial literacy. I talked about our industry-specific training programs, and this is an in-depth overview of what we've recently created and had some great success in. We were looking at individuals that hadn't had any work experience, and we wanted to find entry-level positions that they would be able to have just a basic amount of training that could get them back into the workforce. So we looked at three areas, and that's security, caregiver, and hospitality, that you can get an entry-level position with no work experience. So these are the three training programs that we created. It's a week-long training program. The first 3 days are focusing on work readiness. The fourth day is focusing on achieving a certificate, and the fifth day is helping with employer prep, and then we have a recruitment with employers on site that we'll interview. So the security training program, they're able to receive a guard card. We also provide training with dealing with difficult people, basic writing skills. That's an area that we've seen individuals are lacking in. You have to do an incident report, so it's really helpful to talk to them about what they need for their basic writing. It's not just texting. Ability to work under high stress conditions and professionalism, and that's the list of employers that came in and provided a recruitment at the end of the week. We've had 13 individuals hired as security guards as a result of this. We have our caregiver program where they learn CPR, first aid, and AED, which is an automated external defibrillator, and they're certified in that. We provide training in working with the elderly, again, basic writing skills, positive attitude, and professionalism, and that's the list of employers that came for the recruitment. We've had 24 individuals hired as a caregiver as a result of this. And then the last one is hospitality. They're able to receive their food handler's card. We provide education on food sanitation, importance of customer service, professional appearance, and excellent communication skills. And that's the list of employers that attended. And we've had 15 individuals hired in hospitality as a result of this. So when we were looking at our training program, we had great success with adults. We wanted to also reach out to our youth. And so we created the same type of program to help service our young adults, and that's ages 18 to 24. So this gives you an overview of our adults and our young adult program, which we started just this first of this year. We had 48 adults attend our industry-specific training, and we had 42 young adults attend for a total of 90. We've had a pretty good employment rate with our adults with 52%. Our young adults has been much lower. Part of that is because we just recently provided the training program. And also, 14 of them went back to continue education, which we actually thought that was even more of a success. So they saw that they could do it. They successfully completed a certificate and thought, you know what, I think I can go back to school. So 4 have found employment and 24 are looking for employment. Because of our youth program, we were able to create a partnership with an organization called International Rescue Committee. They have workforce investment funding to provide services to young adults, and they are going to partner with us and provide their training program for our youth. And that's going to be really helpful for us because they're experts in this area. The youth are going to be able to be served, and at the completion of the training program, they are going to be placed into paid internships, and these internships are going to be at UCSD, Cox, and local nonprofits. So we'll have a much higher outcome of employment for young adults due to our relationship with IRC, and that's going to start in June. This is a list of our on-site employer recruitments. We have a variety of employers that come in. We look only to have employers that are hiring. We don't want to waste anybody's time if somebody just come down and talk about their organization if they don't have any open positions. A lot of them do on-site interviews, and we have had some individuals hire on the spot. We talked about our family self-sufficiency program, and I want to go a little bit more in depth on what our program entails. We went from a 5-year program to a 2-year program. It's similar where it requires a career plan. You have to obtain a job and be working at least 32 hours per week, and you're able to earn up to $10,000 in an interest-bearing escrow account. And you do that by any increased income that you receive goes into account rather than towards rent. We just recently opened this up to public housing residents, or will, in July, and we're really excited to have them be able to be enrolled into our FSS program. There's financial benchmarks for individuals that receive their GED, find employment or job retention. That's additional money that will go into their escrow account. To date, we've had 336 individuals in the FSS program, 148 on our traditional 5-year program, and 188 in our new program. We couldn't do all the great services that we have downstairs without our wonderful partners, so I wanted to touch on some of the partnerships that we've had down in the academy and the difference that they make in our lives downstairs and also the lives of our participants. Second Chance, it has been a great partner. They provide suits and clothing for our men. We work closely with Dress for Success, and she provides clothing for women. We needed to have an alternative for men so that they would be able to get the clothing they need, and Second Chance provides that, and that's no cost to our participants. Job Corps has helped out with our youth program, and they have some excellent trade programs that go on over at Job Corps. So we've worked with them very closely as we were just developing our youth program, and we've also made some referrals over to them. Correctional Alternatives, they've helped with our participants that have criminal histories. They help with expungements and getting records cleaned up, and they also help with felony-friendly employers. International Rescue Committee, I already said, we have a great relationship with them, and we're looking forward to that partnership. And UCSD's really helped with our mental health component and with the interns and explaining the services that are needed for a new mental health focus. So what's next? As Commissioner Gramley mentioned, we better have something good up our sleeve for the future. Our focus is going to be for public housing. We're really going to expand our public housing service. We had a couple of orientations, and so far 30 individuals in public housing they're interested in our FSS program. So we have a really high level of interest, and we're excited about that. We also have some new programming. We're looking at increasing the industry-specific training. We want to create an industry-specific training that's going to involve administrative assistant, where they get a typing certificate and they have their typing skills. We do see that that's an area of need, so that's our next industry-specific training that we're going to create. We have our new programming with our young adult program. We're going to see how that goes with IRC and see how successful that is and see if we can increase the number of youth that we're serving, and that starts in June. We recently reached out to our veterans, our VASH voucher holders, and we have a job fair that's going to happen on May 21st just for our vets. We had an orientation this week for just our vets and our housing. We had 14 individuals that came by for that. They're very interested in the training and into the programs, and we're going to start a industry-specific training program for them in June, and we're really looking forward to seeing how that goes. And our homeless San Diegans, we're looking for funding, and we hopefully today we'll find some. We'll hear back if we have potential funding to provide the same type of services to our homeless San Diegans that we received, that everyone receives down in the Achievement Academy. So that's something that we're really looking forward to. And that's the
One of our goals in our agency-wide strategic plan is to develop a community outreach plan for the SDHC Achievement Academy in collaboration with our communications department. This plan is intended to increase awareness among our Housing Choice Voucher participants and public housing residents. So we teamed up with the communications department to design and conduct a survey that would provide us with valuable information to better understand our participants and how to best communicate with them regarding our programs. Last month, we surveyed SDHC Achievement Academy participants on site, and we received 121 responses. We have provided copies of the survey results for you this morning for your review. And what we learned was that 67% of respondents preferred to be contacted through electronic means. 75% of respondents have a cell phone, and a very significant 80% have access to the internet. 53% told us they use public transportation, yet 70% desire to attend classes at the SDHC Achievement Academy located here in downtown San Diego versus their local neighborhoods. 74% of respondents preferred to attend classes in English, and almost 60% preferred to attend weekend and evening classes. We also learned which obstacles make it difficult for participants to attend workshops, such as transportation, cited by 45% of participants, and work schedules, cited by 42% of respondents. This new information is essential as we work on modifying our class schedules. In addition, we will be working closely with our communications department in the development and implementation of an outreach plan, which will include using digital communications such as e-newsletters, website postings, etc. This outreach plan will allow us to communicate more frequently and effectively with our participants, reduce our administrative costs, and increase awareness and participation at the SDHC Achievement Academy. We look forward to continuing to grow our services and assist more participants towards becoming self-reliant. This concludes our presentation, and Stephanie and I are more than happy to answer any questions you may have.
The first question is, we, under the consent agenda, we just approved a contract with a security company that isn't on your list of employers.
Yeah.
Have you contacted them?
We saw that today. Actually, we saw that today and said we needed to reach out to them. Yeah.
Okay. If you have any trouble with that, I happen to know the owner.
Okay. Thank you.
And we'll emphasize the need to start hiring our people.
Perfect.
Okay. Commissioner Cerdy?
With respect to tracking success, give us a little more information regarding that. How do you determine your success and your failures with respect to the details associated with why they succeeded and why they're continuing to succeed and why they failed? And excuse me if I missed, you reported that.
I think each individual is very different. Sometimes the success is somebody staying in a job for 3 weeks, especially if that's the first time anybody's ever had a job. So we really vary the success based on the actual individual. And success for us as the academy is a placement. So if somebody finds employment or if somebody receives a certificate or if they graduate, receive their GED or graduate from high school or graduate from college, that is definitely a success that we look at also. But ultimately, it's based on each individual and where they're at and helping them become more self-reliant. Sometimes it's an individual that may not be receiving any food stamps, so we help them receive information about CalFresh, and their family is able to get free food that's nourishment for their family, and then they're able to continue on and be more successful. So there's a varying level of success that we look at, but ultimately we look at employment.
Thank you. And you have a benchmark for timing? Like you could cite individuals that have held a job for a year. Is there any return to the academy to provide information on the status of their employment? How do you track that?
Sure. We stay in contact with the individuals as long as they want to be in the program. So once they find employment, we don't exit them from the program. So they will have a case manager that will help them throughout, and with our stats showing that 42% say that work is an obstacle attending some of the workshops, we do provide workshops for individuals that find a job and want a better job. So we definitely keep in contact with the individual. If somebody's been placed for an entire year, we're looking at creating some programs now to spotlight their successes. And we're also looking at developing a mentoring program so that they can come back and talk to the individuals that are just getting into the program and talk about some of the obstacles they have.
Excellent. So you have numbers then that you can, like we had graduated, let's say, 30 participants. And of those 30, X number of them are still working at the job that they have. They've been successful. They've been promoted or they've gotten a better job. You do have statistics.
Yes, we do. And I think you actually have a two-page flyer that shows some of the successes of the individuals of their previous employment and the position that they currently hold. You'll see a lot of them are unemployed and found work, and then you'll see some of them that had a lower paying job and moved into a higher paying job. Yeah, sure.
And we have spent the last year tracking how long the individuals that we place in jobs, how long they remain employed. So that's also something that we added into our benchmarks. And then we do monthly follow-up, I believe, with the people that we have placed in jobs to make sure that they stay in their jobs, sort of a motivational pep talk, how is work going? Are you still showing up? Are you having any issues? So after we've placed them, we continue to do follow-up and provide them with additional classes like the financial literacy, continued training, soft skills, and such.
What's your method for getting new employers interested in the program? How do you advertise, so forth?
The best way for us is to look and see who's hiring. We also go out into the community and speak with employers. We work in a job developer network, and there's a lot of sharing of information of employers that are interested. And then we all are advocates of what we do, and anywhere that any of my staff go, we always look for employers that are hiring and let them know about the services that we offer to bring them in. Sure.
Commissioner Hubbard?
Thank you. Hi. For the participant demographics, it says 73% are women and around 24% men. 3% are unaccounted for. What is that? What would be the 3% that's other?
The 3% is going to be individuals that refuse to stay. They decided not to answer that.
Okay, thank you. And I have one more. You mentioned that one of our the ones we work with is UCSD, and the report says USD. Could you clarify which it is, USD or UCSD?
So UCSD comes in, they provide recruitments on site, and they do some hiring. And USD, they have worked really closely with us with our mental health program and developing and designing what services we need going forward with the mental health services.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure.
Any other? And with them first? Okay. No, Mr. Gentry.
My turn now. Two comments, particularly for the newer board members. A background that makes this work is the Housing Commission's move into work status. Probably in the 43 years I've been in this business, the single dumbest thing about the ordinary federal rules and regulations is that the typical rules and regs for either Section 8 or public housing punishes a family for being productive and rewards it for being non-productive. And it's been the case since legislation going back to 1969. I don't go quite back that far, but pretty close. And the fact that we're moving to work means that Azuzena, Stephanie, Suquette, Jeff, our housing voucher program has been designed to reward people for productive behavior. So the minute they earn a dollar, their rent doesn't kick up and take it all away from them. Conversely, a program that we implemented in 2011 with the rent increase going into effect in 2013 is if a family is work-able, meaning they're not elderly, they're not disabled, they don't have a legitimate hardship situation, and they're not employed. They're work-able but not working, which is about roughly one out of six families. So it's not that many, but it's a significant number. After a two-year time period of help, if they don't have a job, their rent's going to go up anyhow. And so we've created incentives that reward people for productive behavior and vice versa, like the rest of us get in the real world. And so that is huge. An absent moving to work, we wouldn't be able to do that. And it would take away some significant incentives here. As you all know, I've been involved in the last year trying to get our moving to work status extended. It runs out in 2018, and we're trying to get that program extended for 10 years. I've been in D.C. about once a month since last September trying to get that negotiated. Very painful dealing with HUD on this, but it's necessary. And so that's a background, and that's huge. And that gives some incentives that Stephanie can use with our customer base. Second comment is that in the 6+ years that I've been here, and Mr. Chairman, you've been here as well, we've seen a lot of changes and a lot of improvements in a lot of parts of the way this agency operates and conducts itself. And I can honestly say I don't think I've seen a section, an organizational unit in this company that's undergone more positive changes than has the Achievement Academy. It went from 6 years ago being a very static, process-oriented component, which would have been difficult to measure. There would have been no answers, Mr. Reed, to your questions a minute ago, to one now that is results-oriented, looking to outcomes and not just output. And so I think Stephanie has done a wonderful job under Azucena's leadership and Jeff as well. And they're showing some good progress downstairs. I think it's only going to get better.
Now, a philosophy I have is that if it's absolutely necessary that we have multi-generational Section 8 recipients, okay. But ultimately, the best way to reduce our waiting list is to get these our clients up to the point where they can go out and get jobs and get themselves off of the list. So I commend you for what you've done, and I look forward to cracking the whip and seeing what you do next time. Okay. All right, thank you. On that note, we have completed our agenda for the day, and I'll entertain a motion to adjourn. Commissioner Moraga has eagerly moved to adjourn. And is there a second? Commissioner Hubbard has equally eagerly seconded that motion. All in favor say aye. Opposed? This meeting is hereby adjourned. Thank you, and stay dry, but don't forget, ride that bike.